Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I was thinking about coming out of the shoot here and telling y'all about my new boots that I got on, but y'all want to talk about puppy chow?
What is that, ostrich?
Hell no, it's python.
It's Sterney's Daily.
Before we get to that boner.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, today's Dirty Daily is powered by not the Milner Brothers, Tyler. But
I was hoping you'd take the bait.
Well, it is powered by a little something that you had to do with. I'm going to tell you, I didn't get the teacher's name, but my wife's teacher that back in 2000, the year 2000, decided to put that time capsule together. They unearthed it yesterday, Tyler.
Mrs. Smith, probably.
Did you figure out what you had? What you put in there?
I meant to go watch that live stream that they did last night. I totally forgot. No.
Yeah, well, I know I married well, boys.
What did you put in the time capsule?
Straight A report card, son.
Oh, what a nerd.
Back when they typed out report cards, man. I mean, straight A report card. She had drawn a picture of her little pony that her granddad had bought her that she rode all the time, named Baby. She drew that little picture in there, and then there's actually a video of them as a class, like they all stood up there in two lines, and they introduced themselves. So I got a kick out of that, man. And when you marry 13 years younger like I did, I didn't know her when she was that age.
You didn't know her, huh?
I didn't.
You came close to babysitting her.
By the way, my mom told a story in my kids' church school this morning that made me sound like a real creeper. I was like, Mom, that's not how that story went.
No, but it is. Just tell the truth.
She's telling the whole church how I've been watching my wife since she was three, and I'm like, Mom, we're in a day school. I wasn't watching my wife when she was 3 years old. I mean, think about what you're saying. But
come on.
Anyway, the time capsule teacher. I don't know who you are, but Stephen
Mrs. Smith.
Austin,
we thank you.
Yeah, that's big time. So that really touched me, man. That was
good
fun. That was
you,
fun
man.
To watch. She got all excited about
it. Did she?
Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely, the old time capsule, man. You want to do one? We can look back in 20 years. See what
I have done one somewhere in Raytown, Missouri. I don't know. I remember doing one. I don't remember what I put in there, but I remember doing
really?
One of those things. Yeah. Don't remember what I put in
there.
Well,
I mean, are you interested in going back and looking? Finding out what was going on?
I'm guessing they probably did that. I mean,
look up on Facebook and find it, man. Raytown, Missouri, huh?
Laurel Hills Elementary.
Or is that Kansas?
No, that's Missouri.
Oh, my bad.
Oh, Laurel Hills, baby.
All right, well.
I remember doing one.
I mean, I think I went to elementary before time capsules were a thing, so I guess I'm too old for it. But whoever that teacher is, I appreciate you powering Dirty's Daily today. Wet Wednesday. It is a wet Wednesday. We are at Buffalo Wild Wings, Richie Road, 45 up in Spring. Come through, hang out with us, and the drinks are wet, but the Bud Light is wet. Right?
Uh-huh.
It's the bar is wet, the county is wet, I'm assuming. I mean, I don't know how it wouldn't be. Do we still have dry counties in Texas?
Yes.
Is there dry counties in Texas?
Man, I mean,
I'll be damned. I got a buddy of mine in Arkansas.
Shane came up the blocks quick with that.
I got a buddy of mine in Arkansas that I mean, his kids will never have to work again because he's got the last or the first, depending on if you're leaving or coming, liquor store on the edge of like five straight dry counties. He's at the first one you come.
Oh, man.
So if you're going to make a stop on the way out or stop on the way in, boy, I tell you, it's a way to go. But it's a wet Wednesday. Buffalo Wild Wings is wet for sure. Come on through and hang out with us. Also, a little announcement, Football Friday, which is obviously 2 days from now. It's also going to be a Reaction Friday, right, Ron?
That's right.
We will be at Walk-Ons in Katy. So come through, hang out with us, Walk-Ons in Katy. Last time we were at Walk-Ons, it was in spring. It was not in Katy, but it was a good day. It was a good afternoon.
Yeah,
good afternoon for us. It was great for old buddy that sat at the bar and left and then came.
Yeah, don't leave her out. She had a great time too.
I'm sure she did. Right, you know, since
I think she did.
Since we came off the Texans winning Sunday, she may have faked it. But she's all right. Since the Texans winning on Sunday against the Titans. It literally started in the postgame show. Sean Pendergast said, "Hey man, what do you think happens moving forward at the quarterback position?" I said, "Well, you know, you got a short week. There's some things, some boxes that need to be checked for CJ to get out of concussion protocol. He hadn't had snaps, hadn't had reps, hadn't thrown the ball, hadn't been in the huddle, and more importantly, hadn't navigated a chaotic pocket in 2+ weeks. And so I think that it'd be best that you start Davis Mills this week, and then you bring C.J. Stroud back on the long week when you got 10 days to get it all figured out." And folks immediately started hitting me on Twitter, immediately started hitting me on the text line of how crazy I am and how the Houston Texans have no chance with Davis Mills at quarterback. 713-572-4610. Text in, call in. Do you believe that the Houston Texans have zero chance of beating the Bills with Davis Mills at quarterback?
Yeah, I think no chance is unfair. But I do think the game has to go a certain way for the Texans, right? I think obviously if CJ was there, you know, there are other paths. To me, this has to be the defense really showing up. I don't love at all, even though he made plays against Jacksonville, so at least that there is some confidence there. I don't love the thought of anything close to what the Bills and the Bucks did last week, to where he's got to go tit for tat with Josh and their offense, and they go here and they score here. I don't like that. But to say no chance, no, I think there is a way that they have to win this game.
I like the way you said that, because I do think and I can acknowledge that there's obviously another path to victory, or it's more likely that you can accomplish and take the path to victory of your offense has to go out there and score 30-plus points to win it. That's obviously going to be more likely if you've got a C.J. Stroud-caliber quarterback out there. But what shocks me is the immediate response after Davis has played well for 2 weeks of we have no chance. Like, I'm just going to tell you, and I'm not going to tell anybody how to fan. You fan how you want to. But the film of Davis Mills, the film of the Texans offense the last 2 weeks will give you a chance to win this football game. They may not be the reason why you win this football game. I don't want to see this Texans offense in a shootout. Hell, I'll be honest with you, I don't want to see them in a shootout with C.J. Stroud, much less Davis Mills. But the quarterback, the product that's been the quarterback the last 2 weeks is playing the position at a high enough level to where he can play well against his defense and they can win this football game. And now I think the lead horse has to be the defense.
Yeah.
The defensive play caller has to, and more importantly, the head coach has to be to game manage in a way that it's an advantage. But Davis Mills is playing well enough where you can go into this game as a Texans fan and feel like you got a shot to win it. You can go into this game as a Texans fan and feel like the quarterback's not going to be the reason you don't win it. And so I've been taken aback a little bit over the last 3 days of just how out folks are, and I can tell you that the film doesn't necessarily say that. So.
Couple of texts coming in. No chance, Clinton. Then the very disrespectful. Sorry, bud. To dismount on that, General Mills gonna kick that ass for a big W for H-Town. Text line coming in. They barely beat the Jags and the Titans. I wouldn't think they would win even if Stroud was the quarterback.
Yeah, that's an interesting way to look at it. I mean, that just unfortunately football doesn't work like that. I mean, or I guess fortunately this year it doesn't work like that. I mean, it's you know, we can look back at common opponents, we can look back at prior games, but the reality of it is, again, if you're watching the games closely, the offensive product, I've said it, look, it's not Davis has been good, but if we're being honest, the supporting cast has been significantly better. I think the offensive line that they've landed on has been better than the offensive line was early in the season. The play calling and you know, has been more offensive line and more quarterback friendly. I mean, there's the supporting cast has been better as well, and so I think there's a real chance here for the Texans product to look different against the Bills. Again, you're not gonna win this game being led by and spearheaded by the offense, obviously. The defense has got to lead the way and give you a chance and put you in position. I'm just telling you, if the other pieces do their part and put this team in a position where in the fourth quarter you got a chance to win the game, Davis Mills is playing well enough and making throws, and the guys around him are playing well enough and doing their job to where I feel good about their ability to go down and win a game.
And I think what you're talking about is the defense has to be the – thing that really moves this in this direction. This needs to be a Davis. There are going to be a couple of plays out there that we want you to make. But other than that, make the plays that you need to make. Don't lose us the game. You hope this doesn't get to like Jacksonville. Hey, man, we need a big second half.
Yeah.
We need you to go out and go toe to toe with Josh. And their offense, like that's where you don't want to. But if they're in position, like you're saying, of hey, there's a couple of plays that we need you to make, like the 3rd and 16 throw to Nico. There's a couple of plays, like you said, you saw what 10 to 15 really really big time throws in that game. They need to make you a couple of those, but we can't have the kick off the game turnover.
Yes,
like you
right,
did against
correct.
Jacksonville. We're getting in a position where you're losing the game.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I just, for what it's worth, watching it through the quarterback
they
lens.
Have a chance, yeah.
Watching it through the quarterback lens, man. I mean, Davis Mills has been really, really good. And the supporting cast around him has been better than it was earlier in the season. So I think offensively you've got a shot here. You're not just completely out. Again, I'm not gonna tell you, as a fan, if you're out, hey, be out. That's cool. I'm just telling you, I feel like there's a shot here. Boys, have y'all seen this most recent report of Bill Belichick?
I have not.
I have, unfortunately.
Tyler, you may have to remind me to pick up some of the details. I quit just after the headline. Ron, have you not seen any of this?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Disgusting.
I mean, we got to decide if Bill Belichick is tarnishing the arguably the best coaching career of all time.
I think we have made that decision.
Well, no, it gets worse.
I'm sorry.
Bill Belichick has been spotted in the bleachers watching his girl Jordan. You know what she's doing? Adult cheerleading team.
I didn't even know this was a thing.
Well, I mean, he's supportive.
I didn't know it was a thing either. It's got to be a joke.
It's supportive.
It's got to be a joke.
I mean, her hair and makeup and outfit at that
you sit over there while you're
I didn't
thing.
Even know that was her.
You sit over there while Lowe's riding the horses. Why come he can't support his lady? Right. Good for you, Bill. That's a good man.
Boy,
good man
I tell
for
you
his lady.
I tell you.
Your
what.
Lady, if your wife was on the adult cheerleading team, you'd be out there watching and supporting, wouldn't you? Wear your hoodie?
I don't think it's getting all the other perks. Tyler, did it look in the picture like it was some kind of part of some kind of show or something, like part of some kind of gimmick or something?
No, honest
not
to
him.
God.
I'm talking about her.
Yeah.
Picture of her.
No, honest to God, the images I saw, I mean, it was just one or two on Twitter or whatever, but it looked like a legit cheer competition like I saw like our high school doing back in the day. like with the, you know, the foam mat at the gym.
I didn't even know this was a thing, but Bill's in that, he's in that auditorium, boy, supporting this young lad. I'm gonna tell you, man, if anything has ever happened in the football world that proves that is the most powerful thing in the world.
And they're killing it, too.
It is untied and undefeated. Bill Belichick is proving that point right now.
This was basically watching her dancing with the stars.
Maybe she was, if she was dancing with the stars, I'd get down with it. I mean, she's out there with a bunch of adults that are legitimately like in cheerleading outfits. Better guys leave, and girls, like dead serious grown adults doing cheerleader things.
Better leave Bill alone. Bill's about to have them bowl
Bill
eligible.
Bill can't support
about to have them bowl eligible.
Bill can't be getting down with that.
Maybe he's recruiting for the North Carolina cheerleading squad.
I just don't understand why y'all can't let that man just – he's supporting his lady. He's out there supporting her, right, man?
What would you do right now if Courtney came to you and said she wants to join an adult cheerleader?
I'll be right there cheering her ass on, me and the kids.
You're so full of it.
I am not full of it. And why wouldn't I?
You're so full.
It just happened. No, I'm not full of it. Of course, I would.
I would judge her.
You could judge her.
I would.
And hell,
judge her.
I might judge her. But I will be there supporting her ass.
You'll judge her a little bit in that outfit.
And he had some fun. And he had some fun later on.
I think he's doing damage to his coaching career.
That's not doing damage.
Oh,
he has got the North Carolina Tar Heels.
Oh, absolutely.
Are they close to bowl eligible? I think they are, aren't they?
Oh, he's killing it. He's killing it.
I think he is. I mean,
this guy's gone. This guy's gone from being the most disciplined, no distraction guy to high heels and short skirts on the sideline and meetings during the game, and now he's sitting on the sideline watching a damn gimmick.
That's right, man.
Nah, man. It's
let him.
What's wrong with Bill, man? I never was a fan of Bill.
They got to get two more wins, baby. It's 4-6, baby. You got to get two more, man. These guys bowl eligible.
He's out there recruiting
cheerleaders. Go ahead, man. You support your lady. What's her name? Jordan? You support Jordan.
Yeah.
She's out there giving the best she can, and he's out there right there. Go ahead, lady.
She's got too much time on her hands.
I bet he's breaking her down like he does defenses. I bet he's got that whole team down.
Your footwork, I mean, your technique and mechanics sucks.
Dude, he's telling her.
She's got to execute.
She's got a couple of guys out there, do your job. That aren't doing their job and not getting their spots trying to do more. All right. Listen up, man. Some audio here we got to play you because Joe Espada, I cannot believe I'm going to say this, but he officially needs to be the voice of the Astros.
And I'm going
to
agree with
Clearly
you.
The voice of the Astros. We'll discuss that next.
I'm trying to do the best I can.
It's a Thirsty Thursday Wednesday edition with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings Ritchie Road location, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That's right. Welcome back in as we are live here, Buffalo Wild Wings on a... Well, it's supposed to be Thirsty Thursdays, usually Thirsty Thursdays, but we are here on a Wednesday, a little wet Wednesday, is what
you're Clint figuring is, it out. Clint it's starting to roll, a little bit better for
Clint
you.
Clint started to call it a wet Wednesday, not on me, if we get in any trouble Clint.
Oh, no.
But no, man, it's a good time out here. We're going to be hooking folks up with prizes here coming up here the rest of the way. Shout out to Bud Light. And the Bud Light girls, and shout out to
Anna and Marisol.
I'm sorry?
Marisol and Anna.
Oh, well, hello. AM in the building. There it is.
Oh, you got, they're busy right now.
Yeah, they're kicking it right there.
They're looking at pictures of Tyler Miller. They're watching the YouTube video watching Tyler.
Yeah, that's accurate too, Tyler. Mm. All over you. That's right.
She's zooming in right now.
Zooming in. Them. Yep. Good looking fella. All right. if you're in the building, go ahead and grab a ticket to be able to win some of our prizes. We're going to start hooking folks up as soon as this segment ends, so stay tuned for that if you're in the building or you're on your way coming in. All right. Clint, Joe Espada, he went on Foul Territory on MLB Network and talked about several things. And to me, man, I'm listening to this right now. I think Dana Brown believes that he is the voice and the face of the Astros. Jim Crane's the owner, likes to kind of chill back a little bit, but I think Dana thinks he is the face. And he held court at the GM meetings last week and made some comments about the direction of where this team is going to start next season. But boy, I loved what I heard from Joe Espada, and I want to hear. I want to talk first about what he talked about with Hunter Brown, his ace, his starter. He's going to be probably without Framber Valdez, but the guy they're building this entire pitching staff around, Hunter Brown. This was Joe Espada talking about it.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Is ace.
You know, and not, I'm going to take away the performance. Like, you do need to perform, right? I think performance goes with that description that you just said, right? You have to perform. But there's also an element that A's bring to a team, is which is every day he steps on the baseball field, the dynamic, the environment, the clubhouse just changes. You know, we all feel like we're going to win that game, right? You go through stretches of games where you're not playing well. You can't wait for that ace to get on the mound so it could change the course of the series or the week, right? That's the description of an ace. That's number one. Number two, you know, he brings this element of humility, arrogance to him, where it's contagious to everyone, right? He's got an edge to him. JV had that edge. Gerrit Cole has that edge. That level of confidence where he knows that today we have to win this game. Today, I'm going to give, you know, our club 6-7 innings because our bullpen needs it, our team needs it. And Hunter Brown has developed into that ace mentality. And from, you know, moving on, now he's got to continue that consistency in his preparation and discipline. It's what is going to, you know, keep him in that level where when we talk about the ace, the schools of the world, those guys are on a different level because of how consistent they are, not only on the performance, but in their preparation.
Right, he had multiple times to mention Framber, and he did not when he went through all the former aces, especially with the Astros.
The interesting thing, Ron, is that he just got through talking about Framber, too. So it wasn't like Framber wasn't
on his mind. Yeah.
When he was rattling through, JV's got it, Garrett Cole's got it, Scooble he mentioned later on.
But that is big to the piece of, like, he didn't just say when he starts. Every day he steps on the field, like, he brings something, and you could tell he's got, like, some guys don't have the personality to be the he described, more than just performance ace. He definitely seems to.
Well, I think it's really cool as a fan to, because I feel that, right? I mean, I feel like, even between Framber and Hunter Brown, like, I feel like we're going to get good outing from Framber. There's no doubt or distrust or anything like that. I feel like you're going to get a good outing from Framber. But the feeling that he's talking about, the clubhouse gets, the team gets, as a fan, I get when Hunter Brown gets on the mound. The last couple of years, I think we've talked about it multiple times, I think he's worked his way into that, where when he gets on the bump, if you're in a rut and you hadn't won a few games, or you got a big deciding game in a series, you just need to turn the tide. He's a guy that can absolutely do that. So it's good. It was good to hear that what I feel and what I think a lot of fans feel is real inside that clubhouse as well.
Yeah, this to me was interesting. Where I believe he should be, to me, the person that's the spokesperson, the voice. I'm not saying he's the main decision maker, but the voice. I think he communicates probably the best way possible for your players in the building and what you need to convey to the public and the fan base. This is him, because if you remember, our guy Dana Brown, the GM, when he started to talk about Cam Smith, they were saying Cam Smith, basically his roster is not guaranteed in left field. He needs to prove himself and show that he is coming into the season at a certain space, that it is not a lock that he is on the roster. And we were like, my goodness, like, man, this is his second year. That seemed to be potentially aggressive of how you're going after Cam Smith, who we know is going to be somebody that's going to be a part of this. He's the main piece in the Kyle Tucker trade. You would think that he is going to be a part of this. Listen to how Joe Espada kind of handles the Cam Smith situation.
He has the ability to do it, but we need to give this process some time. This is just going to be his sophomore year in the big leagues. And I think his freshman year was a solid season. Is it more in there? Absolutely. But, you know, he barely played minor league baseball. He came into camp. He won a spot. We believe in him. We believe in his ability to be a right fielder for the future. But we just need to allow him to learn the league. He came out, swung the bat really well. And the league, what happens? The league's going to adjust to you. And he just needs to figure out a way to adjust to the league and what they're trying to do on the offensive side. And he is going to be able to do that. My job is to continue to provide an environment where he could be himself. He could continue to develop to the players that we know he can be, and just be patient. This kid's going to be a star, and I'm just super excited about the future, what holds up for him.
See, I mean, to me, that's how you handle it. Man, this is a young dude. It feels like Dana Brown tried to push some, all right, man, hey, you better get it together right now or else. And, like, to me, this is the approach, even if you're doing that, this is the approach to me of how you handle it in public and handle a cat. And, like, I would think now Cam Smith looks at, all right, Joe's got some confidence in me. Like what Joe said is the opposite of what Dana. No, man, you better get it together. We are going to rush you. You better get it together. And I think he needs to be the voice. That's exactly, to me, how you handle it.
Yeah, I prefer that. I think a lot of players prefer that. You got a general manager that says, hey, man, nobody has a job. You got to go out and earn it. And then you got a head coach that says, hey, man, this particular guy's really talented. He had a good year. He's young. We're going to be patient with him. And we're big fans. We feel like
he can be.
Yeah, I mean, so it's you know, to me, it's, you would like the organization to just be aware of, like, what that particular player needs to hear, instead of this tough love or stroking them all the damn time. But the more interesting thing to me, and I'll be honest, as an Astros fan, probably the number one most concerning thing for me is I listened to every bit of this audio from Joe Espada, and it was really good. I encourage all the Astros fans to just go out and listen. I mean, he addresses Framber Valdez and the potential of bringing him back.
Coaching staff. The
coaching staff, the changes that went on. He addresses the Framber Valdez, Salazar.
When
he was catching and he threw, yeah. he broke the wrong pitch kind of
deal. He handled that. Yeah.
But it's not even about like what he says is just like that jaw dropping. It's just the way he was transparent and the way that he talked through each one of them is exactly what you want. What I want as a fan, I want representing my organization. And then, hell, I've been a guy that's been like, I'm not a real big fan of this particular manager. But the more interesting, to the point, the more interesting thing for me, Ron, as a fan, is like, it's still like those two have never talked.
Yeah, they don't always.
I mean, if those two guys were speaking on a consistent basis about Cam Smith, their right fielder, like, how do we want to handle this kid? Like, what do we want the messaging to be around our you think those two guys would be on a similar
They don't even seem like they're on good cop, bad cop.
They don't sound like they've even talked about it.
Yeah.
It's just as an Astros fan, I'll be honest with you. I don't even know exactly what it means to be true because I don't know how it impacts winning and losing. But the general manager and the head coach, I think Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans have done a really good job of being letting everybody know, hey man, we're locked at the hip, man. We meet every morning, and whatever the messaging is going to be consistent coming out of this building. In Houston, I mean, with the Astros, it's just like I don't. It's like those guys are all working from home.
Yeah. You know, it does. It's something to me I think that needs to improve, but I don't think it will. All right, coming up, Texans Report, Brandon Scott. He'll join us. We'll get his thoughts about this big game coming up tomorrow.
Aprovecha los deals de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra en grande con nuestras ofertas de esta temporada, como 25% de descuento en árboles de Navidad artificiales preiluminados selectos. Además, antes del corre-corre de Black Friday, obtén gratis herramientas selectas DeWalt, Cobalt o Craftsman cuando compras una batería o un kit selecto. Porque, seamos honestos, lo gratis nos encanta. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12/3 hasta agotar existencia. Selección varía por lugar.
Football in H-Town is on the rise.
I love D'Amico Ryans, man. I tell you what.
H-Town, I'm back.
Our guy, B. Scott, has all the latest from the gridiron.
I don't see no bitches nowhere around here.
It's time for your weekly Texans report.
You ain't laying down for nobody.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That's right, as we are live here on the road. Buffalo Wild Wings here right off Ritchie Road. Come on out here and enjoy yourself with us. Great food, great company, wings, and much more on that menu. You can come out here and enjoy yourself. Bar is ready to go. I see the Bud Light girls out here. I see all kinds of drinks. You get anything you want around here. Just make your way on out here right off Ritchie Road. And enjoy yourself. We got our guy B. Scott with us. It's Wednesday, Texans Report, and big game tomorrow. And Brandon, I know you're all on this. Clint said that he is blown away by how many people believe that with Davis Mills is the starter that it's bleak to no chance right now. What's your thoughts going into this game with this version of Davis Mills in terms of their chances of winning the game?
Yeah, I think the key part of it that you said there is this version. Like, I think if you're just looking at it maybe kind of from a bird's eye view and you say if you ask Davis Mills to go bam for bam with Josh Allen, that's not ideal. But I don't think that's exactly what you're asking Davis Mills to do. What the Texans would be asking him to do is something similar to what he's done over the last couple of weeks, which is manage the game, take care of the football, know where to go with the football, and to make a couple of plays here and there. And the critical thing that he's done has been really good late. You know, he's helped them win games late, you know, with the scramble against Jacksonville and obviously that 3rd and 16 to Nico Collins. So he has been steady throughout the game and then come up with big plays at the end of the game. And what's key with this matchup is the fact that you're fighting fire with fire, right? You got the number one defense going up against the number two offense, the number one defense being the Texans and the number two offense being the Buffalo Bills. you're asking him to be able to manage that dynamic, right? It's not like you're expecting Josh Allen to necessarily be going off of 40. You're expecting your number one defense to play like one. So what you're saying is, hey, Davis, between this number one defense and the way that you've been playing over the last couple of weeks, that should be enough to at least give us a chance to win this game on Thursday night.
Yeah, it's just interesting, B. Scott. I mean, he's thrown it 45 times in one game, 41 times in another game. He's thrown for 292 and 274, so you're averaging in that low 280 yards a game. And, boy, to just have zero confidence that you can win a game with that quarterback product is interesting. I agree with you. I would prefer to have C.J. Stroud in a shootout with Josh Allen, but let's be honest, if anything turns into a shootout with our defense, the lead story is 100% going to be our defense getting shredded. You know, that's just where I'm at with the thing is, boy, we understand that the defense has to lead the way. The game management, the play calling's got to all be on point, and then you get to the quarterback. I just think that other stuff is more important.
Yeah, well, even for me, like, this is where I'm looking at it. To me, the game will be won or lost based on whether the Texans can run the football. And we have seen games where the Texans have done it pretty well. We've seen games where they've done it not so well, right? Like, the difference for me is, does the Texans' run game look more like it looked in the fourth quarter against Jacksonville, or more like it looked, for the most part, against Tennessee, despite the fact that they won that game anyway? I didn't feel like they ran the ball with the same level of regularity. Now, there's a reason for that, right? You're going up against Jeffrey Simmons and Tavondre Sweat, who are as bad as the Titans are. That's one of the better interior combinations you're going to find in the league. But it still remains the fact that they could not run the football. They are facing a Bills defense that is next to last in run awful defense. So this is a critical piece here. Can the Texans run a rushing attack, which has been up and down and inconsistent, can they make anything happen against this Bills rushing defense that has been next to worst in the league? That's where the game will be won or lost. A lot less so about Davis Mills, so long as he doesn't give the game away. Obviously, Davis Mills can't go out there turning the ball over and putting you in advantageous situations. But if he can just take care of the ball, do a lot of what he's done or something similar to what he's done already, and they can more specifically run the football, they'll have a chance to win this game.
Brandon Scott giving us his Texans report, as he does each and every Wednesday. You talked about running the football as a key, and I think that is the big key offensively for the Texans. As you talked about how bad Buffalo is, they've given up 400 yards and 5 rushing touchdowns the last 2 weeks to the Dolphins and the Bucs. But a part of that for the Texans is going to be the group up front. And you've been around there this week. Do you get the feeling on what the group will be? Do you get the feeling that last week's musical chairs that they landed on last week, is that the group that they want to go with moving forward? Or do you sense there could potentially be more changes with that group?
Look, man, I was surprised by what they did last week. When I was in here last week with y'all, we joked about them putting out a guy that we had never seen before. So that's back-to-back weeks now where they've changed sort of the makeup of the offensive line. And a lot of us were somewhat surprised by it. So I'm not going to even sit here and try to predict what this offensive line is going to look like on Thursday night or tomorrow night. But I will say that that's an important piece of it. Like, what do they value more? Like, Trent Brown, I think, has been a difference maker in the run game. But we noticed that he moves a little bit slow. Doesn't move as well as, say, a Titus Howard would move on the outside. Now that Ed Ingram is healthy, you know, do you put him back where he was at right guard and put Titus where we could argue has been their best position on the offensive line with Titus Howard at right tackle? Is that a better scenario for you in a pass blocking situation, or would you prefer to have the better, like, it feels like the run blocking and pass protection makeup of the offensive line might look different in terms of what's best for the Texans. So that's going to be an important piece of it, man. And I'm just as interested to see what that looks like as anybody else.
He said that, Clint, I think Titus might play a third position this week.
Who knows? They were in the press conference yesterday joking around about how he could play center. And I was like, yeah, I see that we're kind of in here kikiing, having a good time, but that ain't funny. That ain't funny, man. This the dude that you done play on literally every spot on the offensive line except center. And y'all sitting up here joking about how he used to play quarterback, joking about how he could play center. Man, if you don't leave his ass at right tackle, good
God. I think we may see him at left guard. I think they like Ed. If Ed is healthy, I think we may see him move over to left guard.
Wouldn't put it past him. We've seen everybody else at left guard. Why not? We've seen it, and I'm talking about literally everybody else. Lakin Thompson, Juice Scruggs, Jared Patterson, somebody that we've never heard of. Like, and how about this? Yesterday, when I asked Nick Caley, Texans offensive coordinator Nick Caley, man, on a week-to-week basis, when y'all making y'all game planning, y'all trying to figure out who's going to be on the offensive line, what are y'all looking for? You know what this man said? Consistency. Consistency? You mean on the offensive line where it's a different dude starting at a different spot every week except for Jake Andrew? Come on, man. Like that, that part's got to get figured out.
Hey, the only guy that is consistent is the guy that they, Kamari Lassiter, that sucker, brought him in here after getting cut and nobody wanting him in New England. They brought him in here and handed him the starting position. He's the only one that, I guess, that can snap the football. Look, the good thing is I hope they've landed in a place. I think they've landed at a place where Jarrett Patterson gives them a better chance than Lakin Tomlinson and Juice Scruggs. And, you know, I think B. Scott, they've got options. I if it were me, I'd start Trent Brown at right tackle. I'd start Titus Howard at right guard. And if anything comes, you know, if Trent Brown for any reason all of a sudden struggles because there's better edges in Buffalo, you can insert Ingram and put Titus Howard back at tackle, and you've at least got answers. You got answers that make sense, right? We'll see how they handle it, but that's precisely how I would handle it. I want to talk about the other side of the football real quick with you, B. Scott. I think when I look at the matchups, which we'll talk a little bit more about them in our show tomorrow, but when I look at matchups and this defense, I think this if they win this game, it has to be led by the defense, obviously. The defense has to eat. But I look at the way that the Buffalo Bills play and the either weaknesses or injury parts of this defense, and it doesn't bode well for the Texans. If you look at the interior defensive line, we saw Tampa eat their lunch. I would imagine that Buffalo is going to try to attack there with Cook and Allen. You know, you look at their tight ends and their slot receivers are their predominant receivers. We've got we're down to our second or third nickel defender, and we're down to our third safety, however you want to couch that. Our linebackers aren't great in coverage. And the best one, Christian Harris, is for some reason not playing much. And so I think all of those are matchup problems for the Texans' defense, which is our strong suit. How do you see all that playing out?
Yeah, man, I'm right there with you. I'm really worried about two things. Obviously, James Cook, and look, the Bills have the best rushing attack in all of football. A lot of that does, I think, have to do with the fact that Josh Allen is the quarterback.
Yeah.
But it also has to do with the fact that James Cook, I mean, I don't know where y'all would put him amongst the best running backs in football, but I mean, I got Jonathan Taylor and Saquon Barkley at the top, and then James Cook would be in the conversation with pretty much anybody else after that. And so they've got one of the better, at least top 5 to 8 running backs in football, on top of the fact that Josh Allen is their quarterback. This is going to be a problem. Like, the Texans are going to have to bow up. I think it's an issue. I do love the Texans defense and how, you know, even when they've bent, they haven't broken a lot. And so, like, I think that's going to be really the marquee matchup. Now, what about Josh Allen and that, you know, that elusive nature, right? This is a big issue for the Texans defense. They've had issue with quarterbacks who escape the pocket and make things happen, right? They're elite in man-to-man defense. But what does that do? What does that allow for a mobile quarterback like we've seen with Baker Mayfield, like we saw with Bo Nix a couple of weeks ago? And no disrespect to neither one of those two, but this week we're talking about Josh Allen. So if that's what those two guys could do to this defense, especially down the stretch at the end of a game, and we expect this one to be, if the Texans have a chance to win it, I think we expect it to be a close game. I don't see a blowout happening, anything kind of similar to last year. So in a close game, can they bow up and remain disciplined against Josh Allen, who can certainly hurt you with his legs and his arm? It's going to be a hell of a matchup.
Yeah, yeah, James Cook is a huge, huge storyline in this. Because he allows Josh not to have to put on the cape.
Right.
And that's the scarier version of Josh when you don't know what exactly you're getting from him. All right, B. Scott, we appreciate you jumping on. Tomorrow's a big one. We know you'll be out there, and we'll talk to you next week, hopefully with the Texans above 500 for the first time all season.
Yes, sir.
All right, that's B. Scott coming up, 5 o'clock fire, as we roll through here live on the road. The drive is, we're at Buffalo Wild Wings off Ritchie Road. Make your way on out here for the final hour. Look at the injury report for once. I think the Bills potentially have some issues. They've declared some important pieces out. We'll let you know the latest on that. The Rockets, they're back on tonight, and they are facing one of the better opponents they've faced all year long, a true title contender. We'll get you ready for that as well as we continue right here live on The Drive.